Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. This is episode 120 on DBC's Universe. Well, that's the Genesis Explosion, which kicks off DBC's 1989 album, Universe. DBC stands for Dead Brain Cells. And wow, you can't get a stronger opener than that.
You don't even need the Bible.
Right. The story's told right there.
Yeah.
For those new to Radical Research, that's Hunter Ginn, my co-host and fellow Universe lover. You like the Universe, right? I mean, in general. Yeah,
can't get enough of it.
Well, I hope not, because you know you're in it, man. You're in it till the end. Sorry. It's funny. The Universe is this album that it's a 10 song album. What is it? A little over 40 minutes, 42, something like that.
It's succinct.
Actually 37 and a half minutes. So there's I think two songs come in under 3 minutes. True to their roots. We'll get to that. But the thing I was going to say was that, like, man, in 37 minutes, they tackle from the Big Bang to man's exploration of space, leaving Earth. It's just, and you know, everything else, you know, the Exit the Giants, the instrumental conveys the extinction of the dinosaurs. And, you know, we get to, you know, man's follies in there somewhere too. And it's just pretty ambitious, to say the least, to do anything like this.
An impressive journey. An efficient journey.
An efficient journey, it kind of works. It's not that I buy into the concept or don't buy into it. I think it's fine. I will tell you that I remember when DBC were around. I don't remember when I got Universe. I got it when it came out. I don't remember there being any great story behind it. But I will say that their first album was a record you would see in the stores all the time. It was on Combat, had really good distribution in the US. I had a friend who had it. I liked it. I thought it was pretty impressive. It's more in the what?
Punky thrash.
Yeah, shorter songs. Stuff comes and goes in a pretty rapid clip. Technically very capable. But I remember distinctly when I saw this album, The Store Universe, I didn't know anything about their evolution, where they were going to go. And man, I looked at the cover. I looked at the back cover. I looked at the song title. I was like, yep, going to get that. And bought it like immediately. I just knew that this, you know, a Canadian band playing what looked like pretty elevated, brainy concept, cosmic metal.
What would have seduced you about that, Jeff?
Gee, I know. It's not like I was heavily into Voivod in the early 19, 89. Yeah, I mean they primed me for that stuff, and then pretty quickly after this, Oblivion came and did their thing from this day forward, and of course Nemesis in 92. 93. Oh, of course you would. I mean, and you would know. You know what? I always think of that as a 92 album because I had four demo songs from it in 92. And I remember waiting forever. It seemed like forever for the album. You know what I mean? Like it was, you know, Factory was on there and
the Factory.
Yeah. There was so much in the air in Canada in terms of cosmic metal. And I can only think that Voivod had to be the catalyst for that.
Oh, almost certainly. Yeah. No, certainly.
Let's continue on before we talk every talking point before the next song. But Heliosphere, which contains one of my favorite passages on the album. We're going to listen to that one right now.
The aftermath of the sun's conception is coming aboard. Shoving bubble from his gathered matter to a spherical form.
That ending.
Yep. Love it. Yeah. Like, you know, the thing about this record is I feel like it keeps the intensity of that first album. And I love that about that. It doesn't just become a progressive metal album. It expands things. And I feel like inescapably influenced by Voivod, but it has the urgency of the original album.
It does. Yeah. It's, I mean, the momentum there is pretty propulsive.
Yeah,
propulsive.
Momentum is the word. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. And it's propulsive and it has that kind of blunt force of the first album. And, you know, by comparison, it makes the first album seem like an incredibly straightforward, dry crossover approach. Doesn't ruin that for me, but I just, yeah, it's that band expanded. Like, and you're right. They didn't make some quantum leap for the second album, for this cosmic concept album. They had this interesting approach too on this album where I feel kind of a blocky coldness to it, which is something we talked about that in the Nocturnus Thresholds episode. We even called them Blockturnus.
Whenever you talk about blocky and cosmic. Yep.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, Nocturnus.
Go back to Thresholds.
Yeah, and there's a parallel with Thresholds here, I think. That would, of course, come later, and this came from the thrash world versus that coming from the death metal world. But they have that, but I think in Heliosphere, which we just heard, it's about as nimble and melodic and musical as they get. There's a lot of interplay between the guys and some really kind of exciting changes. It's what I would have wanted more of on the third album that just never came.
Same.
Because, spoiler alert, this is it. You know, they're a two-album band.
And I feel like they probably had a lot of room to grow. And, you know, we traffic in these tragic stories, you know?
Sure.
These one-offs, two-offs. Yeah. You know, the other thing is, like, I remember seeing a picture of them And one of the members had on like a Run DMC shirt.
Yes.
So it's like these guys are obviously into a lot of other things. And I'm not looking for hip hop genre bend with DBC or anything, but like I just feel like they had a lot of other things to say and just never got the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, the photo shoot you're talking about, it's Phil Dakin, the bassist and vocalist, who's wearing that Run DMC shirt. Jeff St. Louis or Jeff St. Louis, probably St. Louis if they're Canadian of any kind. He's wearing a Blind Illusion shirt, which is pretty classic. I mean, and you've got to underscore that fact.
And if you're any kind of Canadian.
San Fran's best right there. But speaking of short discogs, is this a tech metal album?
No.
Okay. Is
No.
it on the border or periphery of tech?
Don't think so.
No.
I mean, it's not that techy, really. I mean, it's experimental, it's progressive, but no, it lacks the precision of tech metal.
Yeah, and that's a big thing for me is like that third album probably would have been tech metal. I'll bet I could have seen them going there. Interestingly, they did put out demos that were recorded like in 90 and I think 91. They later came out as a thing called Unreleased, which, great title. And that stuff is not that great. Have you heard it?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah, it came out in 95 initially, and I was excited to get it because I'm like, oh, at least, this is stuff that was supposed to be for the third album, and it just didn't measure up. So maybe this band was not long for this world. Unfortunately, speaking of not long for this world, let's look at the lineup. I mentioned Phil Dakin on bass and vocals, Eddie Shaheeny on guitar, and Jeff St. Louis on drums, who's no longer with us. He passed away 5 years ago in 2019. And then the second guitarist, Jerry, boy, I'm testing my French here. His surname is Willette, perhaps. He died in 94, quite young. So two of these guys passed, but man, Universe lives on, and we're going to hear more evidence of this in the third song from the album called Primordium. They're good at endings.
Well, I think that, all the evidence that you need to prove your point about that they would go tech was at the ending of that song.
Yeah. That's about as prophetic as it gets in terms of what tech metal is. They're not there yet, as you say, but man, they're reaching for it and getting pretty close.
Yeah.
Again, makes the demos that came out after this a little bit more of a mystery in terms of why they weren't reaching for that. But in my imagination, there is, or in that alternate universe, we sometimes want, no pun intended, but in that alternate reality of DBC having lasted for a third album, it'd be like a tech metal masterpiece.
Yeah, they were gaining capacity and obviously becoming more, they were becoming better songwriters too, beyond just the technical aspect. And yeah, I think that there would have been a real, yeah, real tech metal album in, you know, in our minds.
Well, as it is, we're here to celebrate it for what it is, and as you say, the
And
complex
you know, it's
ambition.
somehow more interesting. You know, it's this thing that could have been. Because this thing lives in a kind of limbo. And I love that too.
It has it did kind of gain a cult following. I mean, our friend Matt Rudzinski and his Dive Bomb label reissued it not too long ago. I think it was must have been only about 3 or 4 years ago. He did Universe and he did the first album. And I think he did a demos and rarities release as well. And he did a great job on them. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're excellent. They're absolutely excellent. They sound great. And according to Matt, they sold pretty briskly. And I'm glad to see that this weird little blip on the Canadian metal radar, people still remember,
No, Matt's done some of the Lord's work over the years.
I mean, well, he released Canvas Solaris's Chromosphere.
That's the least of it.
Well, okay, but but
But
you're being humble. But let's talk about some of the reissues. There was Death Rose, Deception Ignored. There
exactly,
was
it's Watchtower. Yeah.
Watchtower, Control and Resistance, the Confessor demos. I mean,
Yep.
praise him for that.
No, he's done some awesome stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
The Epitaph.
Yeah, I forgot that was Dive Bomb. That's right, Epitaph stuff. Yeah, so this is a little bit of a commercial. It's turned into a little bit of a commercial for Matt Rudzinski and Dive Bomb. So go get them CDs, boys.
Get yourself a player.
Get yourself a player. Get you some CDs. Speaking of advertisements, want to thank our Patreon supporters and people who ask us how they can donate. Can go right to Patreon. It's patreon.com/radicalresearchpodcast, and give that way. You can also drop us a donation via PayPal directly at our ID. radicalresearchpodcast@gmail.com. That's also our contact ID, and you're free to send us feedback on any episode there. You can also go to radicalresearch.org to check out all past episodes, including the very first ones, which we might be a little bit embarrassed about now, but we will let them live there. You can also buy my Fates Warning and Peter Steele books there, and soon, I would say almost any minute now, once this episode actually comes out, Deserts of Hex number 2. So back to DBC. Interesting choice that they would create this concept album. And, usually concept albums are lyric heavy because it is the concept you're trying to convey. But the fourth song, Exit the Giants, is about the extinction of the dinosaurs without any lyrics or vocals.
Dinosaurs can't talk. Yeah, fuck them.
Fuck them. Yeah, they deserve to go. They couldn't talk.
Fuck.
But this is Dead Brain Cells' tribute to them, nevertheless.
And for millions of years, the rep
Okay, so it's a quasi instrumental. I apologize.
A bit of narration.
Yeah.
On balance, it was an instrumental.
On, yeah, exactly on balance, because I always think of that as an instrumental simply because it is pretty vocal heavy album. Not in a way that's annoying, because sometimes that can be a little bit much, but Phil Dakin's in there with the robot voice and the monotone voice quite a bit throughout this album. Kind of.
Not like, Temple of Knowledge or something.
It's not quite Temple of Knowledge by Cataclysm, no. Yeah, good point.
Maybe the most vocal heavy Canadian heavy metal record ever.
I would think so. Man. Yeah. In the booklet of the Dive Bomb reissue, Eddie Shaheeny, the guitarist, is talking about, the album, obviously. And he says that they were jamming 5 days a week as rehearsal. So they had quite, a work ethic. And they were, he says they were just able to memorize a lot more riffs and play a lot more technically. He mentions Rush, of course, which I think probably most Canadian bands with that are metal and ambitious must look up to their countrymen as the great heroes they are. He also mentions that they spent nights before our practices. I'm quoting here. We also spent nights before our practices at the Dow Planetarium. We always enjoyed concept albums and said, let's try it. So it was like, just kind of like, well, we're getting better on instruments. We love Rush. We're going to this planetarium. Out comes Universe. It seems like a pretty simple line to draw,
No.
You know who produced this, right?
I do.
G-G-Garth.
G-G-G-G-Garth.
Now, what does Garth mean to you? Like, when you talk about Garth Richardson, what comes to mind first?
Helmet.
Helmet.
Yeah. He did Betty.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't have that in my notes.
Yep.
I overlooked that one. I think of Rage Against the Machine because it wasn't the first time I saw his name. It was definitely on Universe.
Always,
But
always Betty for me.
always Betty for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing his name on Rage Against the Machine and not realizing it was Garth Richardson, because by then he was known as that GG Garth or G-G Garth, the big G's. It was only later I found that out. I was kind of surprised, like, whoa, the dude that did Universe did Rage Against the Machine. He also did Melvins, L7, Testament,
Oh,
Sick.
no, he did he did Stoner Witch, right?
I believe so. Yep, that's the one. Sick of It All, Devin Townsend, many others. Engineering work as well for like Razor, Wasp, Warlock, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Motley Crue. He's also the son of Jack Richardson, who is known for his work with the Guess Who, Alex Cooper, Max Webster, Sword, and da, 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 Manowar. So Richardson family have had their mitts on a lot of different stuff.
Clearly.
Fair to say, right? Yeah.
Yep. I love Sword, by the way.
Are you a Metalized man or a Sweet Dreams man or a both man?
Both, but mostly metalized.
Oh, okay. All right. I remember hearing Stoned Again back in the day on this show called Metal Shop. I have no, you might be too young for Metal Shop, but it was kind of this syndicated metal show that, brave radio stations would take on and play on Sunday night. Metal Shop, had the typical silly generic thing like that. But it was a great place to hear new things and just get, information and interviews that you weren't getting elsewhere. I remember hearing TNT's 10,000 Lovers in One. Was already really into their first, well, I call it the first album, the first Tony Harnell album, Knights of the New Thunder. And when I heard that, I was in love, and I've been in love with that album ever since, Tell No Tales. But I remember hearing Swords Stoned Again on there, and it just seemed so novel. And I mean, I don't want to say different because it was in line with traditional heavy metal, but they had their own sound and it was really well produced. And
I love
they were,
some. Yep.
yeah, I didn't know you liked Sword. I had no idea you liked
Dude, are
Sword.
you serious?
I don't
We've
think I knew
ever
that.
talked about that?
I don't think we've ever talked about Sword.
Dude.
I know. Well,
Do you know how I got into Sword?
no, I wouldn't know because
Your
yep.
Nocturnal Rites piece in Metal Maniacs for After.
Oh, for Afterlife? Was it, who did I interview? The bassist. Was he talking
No,
about
it
Sword?
wasn't that, but it was the it was the byline.
Yep.
Yeah, he talked about Sword, talked about Thundersteel, which I obviously already knew.
Yeah.
Silver Mountain, which I already knew.
Okay.
I
So
was
you were
like,
like already into Nocturnal Rites too. So then you saw the name Sword and you thought, well, I have to.
oh yeah, I gotta get this. Yeah. So I got both the albums.
Excellent. Yeah, I think Sweet Dreams is good. It's a little Zeppelin-y for my taste, I guess.
Metalizes the shit.
Metalize is really good. Yeah, Follow the Wheel, Wheels of Fire. Yeah, well, a tangent, but a Canadian tangent, so I think we can get by with that one, right?
Nothing
You want to talk more Canada?
like a good Canadian tangent.
Hey, we could talk a good game about Canadian metal. If it wasn't Norwegian metal that that we're founded on here at Radical Research, I suppose Canadian metal might be the second. Yeah, let's listen to more Canadian metal. This is Rise of Man. I gotta tell you, man, being a thrash kid in 89 or kid, I guess, 19 years old, this spoke to me so much and it's still so attractive. Like, I just, there's, it's really difficult to not love this.
No, it is.
The cover of this album is so simple, but it's one of those that just probably because we associate it with the music, of course, but I look at it and I just get really warm feelings. I mean,
Right.
what's your take on the cover?
Paul Masvidal in the Cynic photo shoot.
Is he wearing a universe shirt?
That's what I always remember about this album cover.
You okay, wait. So hold on. Let's back up a second. So about DBC's Universe album cover, you always remember Paul Masvidal wearing the t-shirt in a Cynic photo shoot.
Correct.
That sounds exactly like you. I love you. So I like that. I remember him wearing a sh the Universe shirt, but I'm trying to remember what exact photo shoot it was, what era. Like,
Like 90 or 91, because Reinert had on a Coroner shirt.
oh yes,
Know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
yeah. I think that was that must have been the
Probably the 90 demo.
'90 demo, the three song. Yeah. Well, again, not surprising. Those guys were all Voivod heads and cosmic metal nuts. I mean it. Just makes really good. Yeah. And Corner, which is a show we haven't done yet.
That is a daggum shame.
That's a dadgum shame. We're going to do that soon. I think you know because you see my playlists and I see yours. And I like what I see on yours, by the way. No, but the Corner catalog, I went through that recently. And well, I don't love them any less. I still love that band so much. So we're going to have to do an episode.
They're amazing.
What's your favorite Corner album?
Man, probably gonna make some enemies here. Mental Vortex.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's probably my number two.
No More Color would be a really, really close number two for
That's
me.
my number one. So you and I are inverted there, but same first two, basically. There it is.
I will say this, there is no song in the history of heavy metal that has more badass riffs than Read My Scars.
Yeah, that's a kill. That's an absolute
I
killer.
mean, that thing is pure lethal.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, praise Corner. Praise DBC. Let's get back to these boys.
Yeah, let's get it.
We're gonna listen to two in a row here. This is a snippet from Estuary and a snippet from Humanity's Child. Wow.
Yeah. And, good timing on Humanity's Child because that is a lot of Corner.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I hear that completely. Sure.
At 6'8", just loping, just elliptical kind of a riffing. Yeah, total Corner.
Yeah. Man, they were, DBC were not as fluid, and who knows if they would have found that fluidity, but Corner were more fluid than DBC, if you know what I mean.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean,
I mean,
mostly, yeah,
is there a more fluid metal band if you know what we mean, right?
they're pretty much the gold standard for that.
Yeah, I think so. But you make a really good comparison. Yeah, it's fun to pick out peers, especially in like 1988, 89, of bands who were searching for a similar thing. I think Anacrusis you could bring into the conversation a little bit. Just a kind of an elevated progressive approach to thrash. Would you agree with that one?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Who else?
I was
CD.
going to say Believer, but they a little later.
What was the first Believer was, oh gee, I guess it was
89.
89, 90.
I
Yeah.
was 89, but I was thinking about Sanity Obscure, but that was 91, so.
Well, you're always thinking about Sanity Obscure, pretty much, right?
Sure.
There's not a day that goes by that you don't think
When
of
am I not?
of Believer at least. So no, I was looking at the CD booklet, the Dive Bomb reissue of Universe, and there are a bunch of show flyers. And so, they played with a lot of what I'd call lame bands, Faith or Fear being one of them. Never liked that band. I just thought they were really lame. Did you ever hear them? Hey, you're friends with Nate Sapp. Of course you've heard Faith or Fear. I imagine
I
that's
have heard so much fifth tier thrash because of Nathan Sapp.
fifth tier.
Fifth tier.
Man. So
He didn't give a shit either. He's like, oh, it's metal? It's thrash? Hell yeah.
so that means he would swallow like the late 80s UK thrash, like Xentrix and
Oh God.
Reanimator and Acid Rain and all that garbage.
Dude, Acid Rain? Absolutely.
Yeah, man, I want to love Acid Rain. I do, because it's got,
It
Gary from
does.
from Cathedral. And I like that they were just kind of approaching things different, and they had a couple songs that were like progressive minded for sure, but man, I can't take that stuff. I just like most of that late 80s English thrash, especially the stuff that was modeled on the US sound, especially the Bay Area sound, like Xentrix, terrible. Absolutely awful.
Nate's like, is thrash? Love it.
Right. Well, okay.
And
But
like, does anyone else know about it? And if not, even better.
there a name for a listener like that? An obscurantist or something?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna make it up.
Yeah, obscurantist or yeah.
Obscurantist, yeah. But anyway, I'm looking at these show flyers, and they played a show in 1990 in March, it looks like. It's kind of small. I'm trying to make it out. It looks like March 1990 with Oblivion and Gore Guts, really early Gore Guts, because that super early Gore Guts logo, which is kind of a funny logo.
Oh yeah.
It's all
Yeah.
kind of smushed together. It looks like a car crash of letters, more so than the usual metal logo. It's kind of a funny logo. Anyway, yeah, Time Machine, please, on that one. I'd love to go to see early Gore Guts open for Oblivion, who are opening for DBC. And then I turned the page back. They played a show with No Means No. That would have been a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, No Means No, any era would have, it just smokes. Yeah.
Donate so that we can get a time machine.
You're right. Okay, so here's the thing. $10,000 for Battery Octagon. We've already put that out there many times. And then an additional, what are we going to need for the time machine? 20,000?
Probably more than that.
Okay. Okay. Maybe a billion, because I don't think it's possible.
Was apparently, I can't remember the specifics about it, but apparently there was a crowdfunding campaign to film porn in space, and it would
What?
require like $2 million or something. They got like 200,000, which was
Huh.
the first porn ever filmed in space.
That alone is really funny and interesting and amazing that it made it onto this
I think
episode.
also apropos of the show.
Trying to get the money for a Bathory Octagon show? Is that what you're saying?
No, for like the DBC thing, we're talking about the universe.
Oh, well, go, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we're just talking about fucking in space.
Eddie Shaheen
Yeah.
and his blonde girlfriend in space.
Yeah, we're just talking about
God.
fucking in space, man.
All right. I'm getting a little worried about you, Hunter. You do what you want in your personal life, but this is now two shows in a row where you've mentioned porn. Because last the Champs
Oh, really?
episode, you mentioned your porn name, which was based
Oh yeah,
on
no,
Manly, Phil
Sir
Manly's
Manly
name.
Pounding. Yes, Sir Manly Pounding.
Yes, yeah, sir. If you were in porn, that would be your name. So I'm curious to think what'll happen on episode 121 and where you're going to go with your porn references, because this is now a thing.
Hey, let's let the porn do the talking.
Let's let the porn do the talking. And it turns out Voivod is not the first Canadian metal band to have a song written about one of the two moons of Mars, Phobos. This is Phobos and Deimos, or Deimos. How would you say Deimos?
I would say Deimos, but
Phobos and Deimos. One Song, Two Moons. Phobos and Deimos, these incredibly weird moons of Mars. I don't know how much you know about them, Hunter, or at least the basics, their look, their shape. They're the most interesting moons in this galaxy. And nothing against our moon, but our moon doesn't even have a name, man.
It's just called the moon.
I know, it's a bunch of bullshit. We got to
Fuck
name
you.
that moon.
Fuck you. You ain't even got a name,
You
motherfucker.
ain't got a name.
What, motherfucker, you ain't got a name?
Quit
Yeah.
orbiting us. Get
Got
out of
a
our
fucking
orbit. So,
extra orbital piece of shit are you?
$10,000 for the Battery Octagon episode. Patreon.com/radicalresearchpodcast. Thank you. 20,000 to a billion for the time machine.
Yep.
And 1,000 for the campaign to name our moon. Because shouldn't we be doing that instead of like campaigning to have porn in space?
I think so.
Well,
I wasn't, look, I had nothing to do with this. This is just
yes.
reportage, okay? I was just relaying this information to you and our listeners.
About the
So yeah,
porn.
I would rather name the moon.
Can we name it for now, just like as a temporary thing until we have something official? How about Biscuit? Let's name the moon Biscuit. It kind of looks like a biscuit.
Yeah, it does. Ooh, it does. It looks, yeah, it does.
Is that good, or is that make you jealous because that's your nickname too?
Oh no, I'm honored.
Okay, the moon is named Biscuit. All right, let's move on. This is a song called Threshold. You picked it, and I'd say out of the 10 songs in this album, this is the one I probably couldn't remember much about, as much as I've heard this album. Is there anything special to you about it? Because when I made the snippet according to your time code, I was like, damn, this is killer. Like, I just kind of forgot about this
Yeah,
song.
that's why I picked it.
How many times do you think you listened to this album?
Oh, 10?
Really? Just 10.
15? I don't know.
Okay, 15. All right.
I
You're
mean, I
getting up
don't
there.
know. Yeah, 15.
All right. There's no wrong answer. I'm not gonna like
I mean, I don't
I'm
want to like overstate it, but yeah.
not gonna fire you if it's too little. Like I don't have that power in this
A lot of
organization.
albums, man.
No, I know. But no, you know the album well, obviously. So I was just commending you for
Fucking
picking.
awesome. That's why I picked.
We're getting near the end. How did you get into DBC? I don't think we talked about that because it kind of predates you. Like, of course.
Paul Masvidal's shirt.
Oh,
And
really?
I'm not bullshitting. That and I brought it up for a reason. It's literally how I got into DBC.
I'm
So
glad I asked because it brings
I
shit
got
home.
into this record in like 1997. So way late. And I knew about the by that point, I knew about DBC and that they were kind of a crossover band or whatever. And like, their name didn't inspire a lot of confidence, dead brain cells or whatever. But
Yeah.
so, yeah, and I just wound up finding it in a record store for cheap as all hell. And, I got into Voivod, like 2 years before that,
Right.
right?
Right.
So I was kind of primed and I heard it and just blew me away.
That's amazing. And I mean, joking aside, I think it's awesome that it was the Paul Masvidal shirt that had such an effect on you. That's
Yeah,
great. That's great.
that was the thing that kind of compelled me
It's
ultimately.
weird how t-shirts can sell records though, because I remember in 86, I saw Metallica headline in Davenport, Iowa, May. So Cliff was still there. I mean, to this day, one of the best shows I've ever seen. Like you talk about a band at their peak and hot as living fuck. Like it's just,
Can't even
it was
imagine.
only Slayer in November later that year that has tied it for me, for metal shows for me. But James Hetfield was wearing a Samhain, Samhain Unholy Passion shirt, and I went out and bought it like the next week. So you bought an album because of a t-shirt. I have, t-shirts have sold lots of albums actually.
Unfortunately, Phil Anselmo could not sell any Mind Over Four record.
Oh man.
I have pre Phil, thank you.
Yes, thanks for the try.
Thank you, but nope, didn't work.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
How
It does.
cool was that though?
It was cool. I remember even at the time going, whoa, I did, because they were around and they mingled with like Death Angel and a lot of punk bands, but Mind Over Four was, when they popped up somewhere, anywhere, it was unusual, right? You always thought, yeah, that's kind of cool. And what's really interesting? You bringing up Mind Over Four, talking about t-shirts and whether they sell albums or not, their final album had a song called Phobos Eidemos. Empty Hands. We don't love that album, and we covered that in depth on that episode. But that's interesting. So let's listen to the song that started all this babble, Threshold.
You know, for me, that defines the difference between technical and techie.
Oh,
They're two different things.
interesting distinction.
And you've said this before that, techie is an atmosphere, a kind of a cold precision. Doesn't necessarily have to be technically difficult. It's another thing altogether.
I like it.
For me, when I think about techie, Oblivion's Nemesis is the standard bearer. And the music on that's not technically all that hard to play, but it's the atmosphere of it. It's that cold,
Absolutely.
old cosmic, just distant geometric approach to, like, you can see the shapes of it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, sometimes it's maybe better for it, right? It's almost the comparison between Dimension Hatros by Voivod and Nothing Faced by Voivod. I think Dimension is more on the techie side and Nothing Faced on the technical. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
Taking nothing away from Dimension at all, because that's why it works. Like texturally, it has to be that. A little more tribal. There's definitely a lot of that rhythmic tribalism on this album, Jeff St. Louis, because it's a lot of pounding. It's a lot of that da 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 da, da machine like. Do you think
You might
if
you one might even say manly pounding.
Oh no. You're
What?
turning our beautiful podcast into a farce.
Look, you took me there, Jeff.
I did take you there. I'm going to take you right back out, buddy. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. Anyhow, I think that's all we have to say about this. We're going to send you off with Infinite Universe. We don't know what we're going to do next episode, and we're not going to even bother to announce it. We will perhaps just announce it online somewhere, and then all you weirdos that like us, care about this kind of shit, will tune in. I'm sure you'll find us. You know how to find us. If you're listening this far into a DBC episode,
You'll tune into the next one.
then you'll tune into anything. No,
Yeah.
you were no. What I meant to say was you're a true warrior. And speaking of which, before we go, Hunter, I just want to send you off. We're recording this episode farther in advance than we normally would, trying to bank a couple because you're going off to Australia with Agalloch soon. And by the time people listen to this, you will have come back. But how was it?
Fucking amazing. I was telling people at work, when I get there, I will literally have been transported from the future to Australia. And I'm
Yes.
gonna give them, yeah, the grimmest of tidings. Like, man,
You are gonna be
you
time
cannot
traveling.
imagine what's gonna happen.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. I wish you well on that. I can't say how badly I wish I could be there with you and the Agalloch boys, but have fun. Do all of us proud. It's gonna be so killer. I know I tried to get you hooked up with Adam from Alchemist, who's actually playing a show somewhere else in Australia that night with his band. So not Alchemist, but another band. So that's too bad that couldn't work out. But I hope that you meet, yeah, I don't know, the guys from Sadistic Execution, like Rock or Reverend Chris Hades. I hope that happens.
Yeah.
Perhaps like on a more serious
Sure.
note.
KK Wurstler will be there.
No,
Just
on a more serious note, if you run into Damon Good from Stargazer, give him the hugest kiss for me and include some tongue, because that guy is the most amazing fucking bassist in metal right now.
I'll even do a little bit of ass grabbing.
It's just getting too pornographic here. 120
I,
episodes, and this is
again,
where.
man, you started this shit.
And I'll take you right out. Thanks for telling us how it was in Australia.
Yep, it was great.
Safe travels. I love you. And we will be back very soon. Thanks for listening. This is DBC's Infinite Universe.